back, everybody, as we continue from Fuddruckers here on the west side of town, 5030 North Desert Boulevard. Steve Kaplowitz along with Don Haskins. This is the Don Haskins Show. We still have some seats in the bar for you to come on down and enjoy. Great spots on the patio. Now that the sun is going down, Coach, I've always said that the patio here is a great place to enjoy the show. You're right next to us, and you got that opportunity to be outside and have that whole outside environment to yourself.
Oh, I tell you, I was out the golf course today watching Steve play and a bunch of the guys he plays with. About, you know, he's working now and he plays about once a week, and he played pretty good. He shot 5 or 6 under, which is not bad for a business golfer, as
that's right.
Call him.
Do you expect is Steve ever going to get back? You think he'll have a chance in a couple of years to go do it again, or do you think that?
Well, he certainly has that on his mind.
Yeah, he does,
and no question, but he loves it. And, you know, he had a couple of injuries, just totally took him out. He had a elbow injury and a shoulder injury, and there for a couple of years, he couldn't hardly swing the club, but
right.
He's better now.
Feeling good.
He's feeling a lot better.
That's right. Good. All right. Meanwhile, folks, you want to come on down and join us? You've got a chance to win some incredible prizes. You mention the Bear's name, you get 10% off your meal. We've got Dollar Miller Chills as well, the new Miller beer, the light beer with a splash of lime and also a little touch of salt. It's called Miller Chill, 12-ounce bottles, just $1. That's right, $1 for the long necks, Miller Chill. We've got the 2 VIP lunch invites to the Sports Expo VIP lunch featuring Dallas Cowboy, Ring of Honor Legends, Don Perkins, Leroy Jordan, and Mel Renfro. All three will be there. You'll have a chance to get up close and personal with them. The only way you can win this is to join us between now and 8 o'clock. Get your name signed up. You very well could be headed to the VIP lunch at Sullivan Park Racetrack. We've got the $50 gift card. We've got the Sports Expo t-shirts and an opportunity to be a part of the program with the Bear. Let's go to the phones right now. 880-5763. Frank is standing by from Central El Paso. Frank, good to have you on. You're on with Coach Haskins.
Coach Haskins, always a pleasure, sir.
How you doing? Hey, you ought to be over here. I'm having a big hamburger.
Well, I'm heading on there. Believe it or not, I'm heading out there. Hopefully I can make it before 8.
Well,
how you doing as well?
My hamburger will be gone.
That's true. Frank, I'm doing well. Good to hear from you. What's going on?
Well, you know, I was listening to a wonderful, wonderful interview with Coach Richardson as well. I mean, always. He's always a pleasure. And I really like how he loves El Paso a lot. But, Coach Haskins, this question is for you, and this is kind of a open-ended here. Out of all the players, assistant coaches or anything, have you ever thought to yourself, you know, looking back on the history, that storied history of UTEP, that maybe this player, maybe this assistant coach can go on to bigger and better things in coaching? Maybe they understood what, you know, you were talking about? Because you're building up quite a legacy.
Well, you know, I had a bunch of guys that turned out to be good coaches. Just had a call about one of my guys from Houston, Tommy Jones. And he was out of it for 7 years and become a millionaire and decided he wanted to go back coaching. But he is really good, you know, Gene Iba, G-Ray Johnson.
Yep.
I thought he was one of the better assistants I ever had. Lester Goodwin. Of course, we don't have to say anything about Tim Floyd. You know, he left here, went to Idaho, New Orleans, Iowa State, coached the Bulls, coached the Hornets, and took his team to his final 16. Mm-hmm. Tim is not only a great coach, but a great recruiter. But we've just had some real good ones. Ken DeWeese. I'll be leaving out a lot of people. One of the greatest players and coaches I ever had here, I thought he could have gone to college had he wanted, was Tony Harper.
Yep.
Jim Forbes over at Andrews.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what a player he was. And it's a treat to watch his teams play because they play so hard, just like he did. But do you have somebody in mind that you were talking about?
Well, no, actually, I was really honestly thinking about Tim Floyd, to be honest with you, as far as as defensive-minded as, you know, that he had to get from somebody, and I know who that person probably was.
Well, Tim, you know, was a young guy, and he would make me mad every morning. He'd get me out of bed about 7 o'clock because he wanted me to come and have coffee with him, and he'd have his notebook there, and we'd go over drills and what have you. He was never very his voice was never heard in practice. He would recruit, and I thought, well, now, the guy's a great recruiter. Can he coach? Well, we've seen that.
Definitely.
He can coach.
Frank, great stuff. Thanks for the phone call.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you
a lot, Frank.
All right, hopefully we'll see you out here tonight. 880-5763, 880-KROD. If you have a question for the Bear, give us a call. We've had some good ones. By the way, Willie, who was sitting down and joining us here tonight for dinner, he wanted to know from you, what happened to Steve Tredenick? I know you've got the answer to that question.
What happened to him?
He's not longer in El Paso, but Willie, who used to know Steve Tredenick in El Paso, was kind of wondering, you know, what happened to Steve Tredenick?
Last time I talked to him was about 2 or 3 hours ago.
Yep.
Steve is a great lawyer, and he was here in town for a long time, and he moved to Round Rock. Mm-hmm. And I think he thought about retiring. I think he's doing more now than he was when he's here. But Steve Tredenick, if the team on the 2nd of April should get in the Hall of Fame, it will all be him. Steve took care of all the 6'6 players during the negotiations with Disney.
Yep.
He's looked after them in every way. There never has been a better miner than Steve Tredenick. I'll never forget, you know, I recruited him the first year that I was here, and it took him a couple years. I remember talking to him a couple times and saying, Steve, you know, he was a little bit slow-footed.
Yeah.
But he could shoot. And offered him a chance to give him his scholarship. That's when scholarships, you could have whatever you wanted. And he said, no, I'll stick it out. Well, when he was senior, he was a captain of one of the best teams I ever had. The team with Jim Barnes. It was 25-3. Jim fouled out 3 times. Mm-hmm. And it's a team that very well could have won the National. He played 8 minutes in a game with Kansas State. And we lost, and I'll never forget the score, 64-60, and they got beat in the National Finals by 1 point.
At the same time, Steve Tredenick has done a lot with this basketball team from 66. And the 66 team, by the way, just getting into the El Paso Sports Hall of Fame yesterday, as that did go through. And
you know, I didn't know this.
Yeah,
that's great.
That team will be inducted to the El Paso Sports Hall of Fame on May the 2nd, which is a Wednesday. And then, as you mentioned, this Monday, the big one, finding out if the Naismith, the Hall of Fame, will make room
for
the 66 team.
You know, I hope that happens. Most of the time it takes 2 or 3 times around. I had been nominated 2 or 3 times before I made it.
Yeah.
Knight was nominated 3 times. And I told Eddie Mullins is totally responsible for a lot of great things that happened with me and when it was Texas Western and UTEP. But Eddie, very strong-headed about it, putting me up. I guess it was 2nd or 3rd time. And
yeah.
I told him no, I didn't want to. You know, it wasn't that big a deal to me at that time. It is now.
Yeah.
I think it's great. But it would just be wonderful if the 6'6 team, because there's 5 teams. Now, most of it's individual, but there's only 5 teams in the Naismith Hall of Fame. And I can't name them. It's the old Boston Celtics, first team.
Right.
And
I think the Harlem Globetrotters are
Harlem Globetrotters, the New York Wrens, and a couple other teams. But I know there's just 5. And if they should nominate 6'6 team, that would be 6.
Would that be the first college team ever inducted into the Hall of Fame? I think it might be.
To my knowledge,
yes. What a tribute that
would
be.
You know, and with all the great teams they had at UCLA and what have you. And of course, we all know why. It's because it's the first time that an all-black team played in the National Finals.
Right. Meanwhile, by the way, since you just celebrated a few weeks ago the 41st anniversary of that great feat, This year is the 60th anniversary of Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier in Major League Baseball with the Brooklyn Dodgers.
I didn't know that.
Broke in 1947.
Yeah, I can still see him sliding into second and third and home. Boy, what a great player he was.
Did you ever get a chance to meet Jackie Robinson
him? I would love to have.
Yeah.
I saw Satchel Paige pitch when I was about 7 or 8 years old. My dad took me out. And he said, I want you to watch one. He was playing for the Kansas City Monarchs.
Yep.
And we had a semi-pro baseball team that won the national semi-pro championship that year. And we had some great players. The guys were down from the majors. We had about 3 or 4 of those. And they worked for Champion Refining Company. But anyway, my dad took me out, and he said, Satchel Paige is going to be retiring. I want you to see him pitch. Well, and about the third, fourth inning, our 3, 4, and 5 hitters who were great came up, and the Kansas City Monarch team laid down out there, and they were chewing on grass, and Satchel Paige, with that highest leg kick I've ever seen, fanned all three of them, and the catcher was sitting flat on his you-know-what.
Yeah.
And that was Josh Gibson.
So you saw Josh Gibson and Satchel Paige.
I saw Josh Gibson, Satchel Paige play. And now I'm in college. I'm a sophomore, junior in college. And Satchel had retired, or he'd retired to a rocking chair with the Cleveland Indians.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Satchel, one of the all-time greats.
Oh, he was, I'll tell you what, even from the stands you could hear the ball singing.
Yeah.
When he threw.
Was Josh Gibson as well known back in those days as Satchel Paige?
No, he wasn't, but he was very well known.
Oh.
My dad told me. He said, the catcher is one of the greatest catchers that's ever played.
Yep, exactly right.
And I think he hit a home run or two that night.
I'm sure. Josh Gibson, some say, was probably one of the greatest power hitters of all time.
Oh, he
without a doubt.
He was.
All right. 880-5763 as we continue here on the Don Haskins Show. Let's do this. We'll take a break, come back. Dan Wetzel will join us next, live from Atlanta and the Final Four. We're back with more in a moment as the Don Haskins Show continues, live from Fuddruckers, 5030 North Desert Boulevard. Come on down and see us as we continue on News Radio KROD. Welcome back, everybody, as we continue live from Fuddruckers West, 5030 North Desert Boulevard. It's more of the Don Haskins Show. As we continue, want to remind you folks, save 10% off your meal when you mention the Bear. We've got the Dollar Miller Chills. It's the new light beer with a twist of lime and some salt. And also, Fuddruckers, the home for the Don Haskins Show. The Fuddsmobile will be live and will be with us this Sunday at the Sports and Health Expo. So if you want to get that great Fuddruckers food on the road, you can enjoy the Fuddsmobile this weekend when we get things going at Sunland Park Racetrack and Casino for our Sports and Health Expo. Also, we will be back right here at Fuddruckers next Thursday for back-to-back shows. I'm trying to catch up on some dates because of the NCAA tournament. We weren't here last week, so now we're making up for it both this week and next week. So come on down and make your plans next Thursday right back here, 6 to 8 o'clock, for another edition of the Don Haskins Show. With us right now on the phone lines from Atlanta is the co-author of Glory Road. I'm talking about none other than Dan Wetzel, as he is ready for the Final Four. Dan, good to hear from you. How are things in hot Atlanta right now?
Things are good. I'm actually having dinner with Tony Barbee, Bill Wagner, Babel, the whole crew from UTEP. So John Calipari's having a big dinner from all his the Memphis coach with all of his former assistants and people he knows. And Coach Cal said he's going to drink a shot of tequila in your honor when I told him I was going to be on the show.
Who said that?
Calipari. I don't think he can handle too many shots of tequila.
I'll tell you what, tell him I'm drinking and he can have his right now.
What are you drinking right now?
No, I'm drinking tea. I'm drinking glass iced tea.
I see. He vowed. I told him I was going to be on your show, and he said, tell Coach I'm going to have a shot of tequila, so we're going to go in and have it.
Hey, I want to know right quick, Dan. Oh, by the way, Steve.
Yes.
I got 20 books. I don't know where they come from. I found 20 that have been signed. I guess they're supposed to go somewhere.
It's like the warehouse find.
Yeah, it's a warehouse.
You found 20 books?
Yeah,
I'm
going to. I'm going to bring them down here a couple weeks.
We're going to have those next week?
Well, we can.
Let's
sure.
do that. Let's bring them next week, and then we can get those, sell those for $15 a pop, and people can come and get them personalized.
They're already, they have been signed.
Okay.
And but I will personalize them.
I'll mention that
for Dan,
next week's show.
What's going on?
Well, the team's arrived, and for the most part, all the talk around town isn't even on the Final Four, but. Who's going to get the Kentucky job? Is Billy Gillespie going to stay at Texas A&M? All that type of stuff. Everyone's talking jobs more than the actual game.
What do you think Billy's going to do?
I saw Billy earlier.
Oh, did you?
And he told me that they're working on. He's working on staying at A&M. I think he's going to stay at A&M.
Well, I think he's crazy if he wouldn't. I don't believe I'd want to go to a school that just fired a guy after being in the NCAA tournament 2 years.
That's exactly.
Now, if
he returns his whole team, so he probably would have been in it a third year.
Probably so. Oh yeah, because he's got seven seniors. We just talked to Nolan, right?
Yeah, he's got everybody coming back next year. So,
well, somebody might come in.
He would have took the Razorback back to the tournament.
Oh, yeah.
I think Billy's going to stay, but it's not done yet.
Well, if Billy does stay, the question then is this, Dan. Who's going to Arkansas, and who's going to Kentucky?
And then who's going to
A&M? I don't know who's going to go to Arkansas if they don't pick Gillespie, and I don't think they will. In terms of Kentucky, I might be the only one, but I actually think Billy Donovan is going to go and take that job. I think that I know some people around him. He has not made up his mind. He's spending his time this week trying to win the national championship. It's not his priority trying to figure out whether he's going to take another job.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, there's something magical about coaching Kentucky. And then Donovan is interested in doing that. I think he's going to take the job. A lot of people don't think he will, but that's my guess.
Will Kentucky really offer Billy Donovan $28 million over 7 years, which was reported earlier last week?
They're going to offer him probably the most something close to that. They'll offer him almost an incredible package of perks, business opportunities in the community, maybe a promise to build a new Rupp Arena at some point. They're going to do whatever it takes to get Billy Donovan. He's their main target. That's the guy they want, and they're going to go after him pretty hard.
Dan, I heard I talked to somebody yesterday. Don't even remember who it was. This person was telling me that at Florida, after winning the national championship, they only sold it out one time during Southeastern Conference play, and that they had 3,000 or 4,000 seats every night there. Is that true?
Well, as I understand it, they sold out once in non-conference play, and
they sold out
5 or 6 times during SEC play. But yeah, there were a lot of nights. It's only a 12,000 seat stadium, but there were a lot of nights they only had 10,000, 9,000 in the place.
Well,
and that's according to their official numbers.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Usually pumped up a little too high. You know, that's one of the things. Look, no matter what happens at Florida, it's still football first. And the way football is always king at Texas or Texas A&M. But not a UTEP or a school like that, you can be back off. At Kentucky, I don't care who they're playing, 23,000 every single time. And that's one of the appeals of Kentucky.
It's much easier
to recruit to, fan passion, all the excitement of being a part of that.
Fan coaches?
Fan coaches, yes. You know what, those coaches, you're going to make $4 million a year.
You let anybody coach, huh?
You gotta take the heat with the four million.
I was shocked when I heard that they didn't have the Florida place this packed. I didn't know it was only 12,000.
Yeah.
You
win the national championship.
Yep.
And you return the exact same team, trying to go for a second national championship, and you don't fill your arena every night?
He might go.
Yeah, what does that tell you?
It doesn't make sense, but there's no passion for basketball at the University of Florida. I'll give you another one. They went and played their first two rounds of the NCAA tournament in New Orleans. That's where they went. Not that far from the state of Florida. They sold 500 tickets out of their allotment. They couldn't even sell out their entire allotment from the NCAA of tickets. They only brought 500 people. Well, went for the first two rounds.
Dan, you know what that tells me? That tells me obviously the fans aren't committed to the program. And I wonder if Donovan takes the money and goes to Kentucky, is the Florida job considered that great of a job, knowing that coming off a national championship, they can't get any fan support like most programs would around the country?
Yeah, I think Florida is a good job. I think Billy Donovan made it a great job. You know, Lon Kruger took them to a Final Four, and look, you're in the middle. You're the state school of a very big state, one of the fifth or sixth biggest state in the country. There's talent. You're in the SEC. There's a lot of reasons for the job to be very good, and you can win. But Donovan's the one that elevated this thing. It's not like Kentucky where everyone's going to win. It takes a special guy. I think it's a good job. I don't think it's a great job. Kentucky is a great job. Yeah. Every coach that goes into Kentucky is going to win. Every single one of them.
Dan,
there's no excuse to not win at the University of Kentucky.
How about Tubby Smith, one of the finest coaches in the United States, having a hard time there? He went to Minnesota. I've been trying to reach him to congratulate him on quitting Kentucky. You know, the guy's fantastic, and you got to win big there every year. So, you know, for that much money, the money you're talking about, well, I don't know.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, I think I might go there to get fired for that.
Why not? Hey, Dan, I'm up at a break. I want to keep you on, though, to get your thoughts on the Final Four and who you like this weekend. Can you stay with us for a few more minutes?
Sure.
All right. Dan Wetzel joining us on the phones. We'll come back. Continue more of the Don Haskins Show. More Dan Wetzel next on News Radio KROD.
Miss an hour? Miss a lot. AM 600. News Radio KROD.
Welcome back, everybody, as we continue live from Fuddruckers. More of the Don Haskins Show, our conversation with Dan Wetzel, who is in Atlanta for the Final Four, enjoying himself. And Dan, I apologize for taking you out of that dinner tonight with Calipari, Barbie, and everybody else. I appreciate you doing this for us today.
It's how much I love you, because there's tequila waiting.
There's tequila waiting.
And anybody down there
the
knows
last
me,
time.
Ask, like my, ask my friend Beto. I do like tequila.
The last time I saw you, didn't need another meal, Dan. I thought you could miss.
I don't think I'm the only one.
I don't think. Well,
that description.
I don't want you down here eating any more enchiladas. Now, I just had here at Fuddruckers, where we are. I just had one of them giant hamburgers.
Yeah.
Ate it all.
He's the bear. What do you expect, Dan?
Yeah. So, well, he's a carnivore.
That's exactly. Well, good for him. That's most of us.
Hey,
are.
Hey, who's going to win the tournament?
I think, you know, no one else is picking them, but I think UCLA is going to win. I think defense wins championships. I think they got the best defense. They got two good guards in Collison and Aflalo. And I think they got a great coach. I think they're hungry. They got blown out last year against Florida in the title game. I think that's an advantage as they face Florida again in the Final Four. A little bit of the way Duke came back and beat UNLV a year later after a blowout. So I'm picking you at UCLA. I may be the only one, but that's who I think is winning it.
No, you're talking to two guys here. We both kind of thought that way, too. Hey, UCLA's big guy. I don't know who that is. Is he capable of playing with the two big guys from Florida?
Well, it's hard for anybody.
Who is he?
To stop them both. And, you know, you got Horford on one side who's so strong. You got Noah coming from the other side who's so 7 feet and so active, and he plays with such a passion.
And he's got a tennis racket.
That's right.
It takes a team. It takes team play on the front line to stop Florida.
Who's UCLA's big guy?
Well, I don't know.
God, I don't either.
That makes three of us, Dan. That's good.
I think that's the problem, Coach.
That scares me.
Yeah.
I think UCLA guards the perimeter, the three-point shot, better than anybody I've watched this year.
But you're worried that the Florida inside game is going to eat them up.
Yes. At lane, I like threes back in lane better than I do out on the three-point line.
Yeah. How about the much publicized matchup on the other side, Ohio State and Georgetown, the battle of the two big men? Everybody's been talking about, the best matchup since Olajuwon and Ewing back in 84. Dan, your thoughts on that matchup?
Well, I don't know if Hibbert's quite in the Ewing-Olajuwon category. I think Odin's going to get the best of him. Odin's unbelievable. He is a great, great player, particularly defensively. Georgetown's thing is balanced offense, patience. They run the Princeton system so well. I like Ohio State in that game if Greg Oden stays out of foul trouble. I think that's the key. How many minutes does Oden play? He's just so dominating defensively. Completely takes everyone else out of their offense. So I like Ohio State in that game unless he has foul trouble. And then I like UCLA beating Ohio State for the title there. But, this is what's great about this Final Four. You can make a case for any of the four teams to win. All four of them could win, and any one of them could win. I wouldn't be surprised on Monday night.
I wouldn't either, Dan. I'll tell you what. There's so many great teams. When they were going into Final 16, I thought there was at least eight that could possibly win. And before we got to the Final 16, like Ohio State, they could have got knocked off by Xavier.
Yeah.
They made a shot at the end, or they wouldn't be there. And sometimes I really believe that you got to be lucky. It's like Billy Gillespie last year. LSU made a shot at the end of the game. And knocked him out of going, I guess, to the Elite Eight. It wasn't the Final Four, was it, or was it?
No, it was the Sweet Six. Actually, it was the Elite Eight, yeah.
I think it was the Elite Eight. But what's the weather like down there?
The weather is a crisp night.
You weren't expecting that question, were you? That just totally came out of left field.
No, I wasn't expecting the weather.
I just didn't know what
to say. You guys, I'm going back to eat because you guys are out of questions.
No, we want to talk Calipari. Can we talk to John?
He's drinking. Cal is drinking.
Well, it's all right. Let him drink.
I'll give you a full report next week.
We can't get Cal on the phone. Tell him I'm mad.
I'm going back to the restaurant. I'm out here in the street.
Oh, you're in the street. I thought you were sitting there at the table.
No.
See, Coach.
It's loud. RV is loud. Everyone's laughing, Yeah.
Hey, you keep Tony out of trouble, would you?
Tony is fine. He is recruiting. He is showing food. He was just talking to a bunch of people about how much he loves El Paso.
Yeah,
and
I just heard
how this team's going to be better next year. That's his main thing.
I heard Nate Denwiller go by.
By the results of this season, and they're going to be fine. Miners are going to be fine under Tony Barbee.
Oh, well, we know that. You don't have to convince us.
Well,
and the people in town here believe in him.
That's exactly
great. He loves it out there. Milt Wagner. Mike Babel, the whole thing. It's been great.
Well, go ahead, Coach.
I was going to say, are all those guys with you?
Everybody's here.
Well, uh-oh. You know what? Get back inside, have some fun, and enjoy yourself.
I love you guys, but,
Yeah. I understand what you're saying. When you get a question about the weather, it's time to end the interview. Dan, always good to have you on. Have a great time out there at the Final Four.
Thanks for having me, guys. Take care. Take care, Coach.
Adios.
Before we go to break, I used to always, I interviewed the late, great Jack Buck a couple times. And every time I spoke to Jack Buck, the voice of the Cardinals and one of the legendary voices of sports, he always asked me, How's the weather in El Paso? Same thing, just like you.
Well, you know,
And he did that at the start of the interview, not the end. So I never really felt we were out of questions.
Wanted him to tell me it was real bad here, and I was going to tell him it was about 68 here.
Yeah, you're trying to make him
beautiful.
Jealous.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
Instead, he thought you were out of questions because you asked about the weather.
Yeah, he didn't understand.
No, not at all.
Dan's a writer, you know.
You can't expect much,
no.
Can you? I didn't think so. All right, let's do this. We'll take our final break. When we come back, we'll get to any more of your phone calls, and we'll also talk about an interesting subject we haven't discussed yet today, free throw shooting. Why is free throw shooting so bad in college basketball? That's up next. The Don Haskins Show continues live from Fuddruckers right after this on News Radio KROD.
You're listening to News Radio KROD.
And welcome back, everybody, as we continue our final 15 minutes of the Don Haskins Show. I've got two lines available, 880-5763, 880-KROD. We will be back here next Thursday night, and Tony Barbee will be joining us for an hour here at Fuddruckers. You want to be a part of the show with Tony Barbee and Coach Haskins? We invite you to come on down and see us next Thursday. Right now, though, I want to go to the phones. Joe is standing by from Anthony. Joe, thanks for getting in. You're on with Coach Haskins.
Good evening, gentlemen. Coach Haskins.
How you doing, Joe?
Coach, I had a... Being on the topic of the Final Four, besides your 66th National Championship team, do you recall any other team that you thought was close to getting back to the Final Four?
Any other team besides Florida?
No, ever had. No,
besides your teams that you took to the NCAA tournament.
We had... A team in 1964, Jim Barnes, who was drafted number one in the nation. I felt we could have won it that year. We were 25-3, and he fouled out three times, averaged 29.9 a game, and wasn't a hog. You know, he passed it and made everybody else good, too. But that team could have. I did not think in 92 had we beaten. You know, we got beat by Cincinnati.
By 2 points, I think.
By 2 points.
Yeah.
No, I didn't think that team could win it. But the team in 64, we had some others in a team that beat Arizona on their home. We beat them on their home floor, played number three Iowa, and got beat by 1 or 2 points. I think that team, had we escaped that particular game, that we might have, we had a chance to win.
Well, I think that 92 team, you lost to Cincinnati by 2, and then Cincinnati went on and beat, who was it? Memphis.
They beat Memphis, yeah.
Yeah, pretty bad. I think you could have gone back to 92.
I think we could have gone to the Final Four. I don't know. I don't even remember who won it that year. Was it Duke?
It probably was Duke,
It might have been Duke.
Yeah.
But we were a very talented team that year, but I'm not sure... You know, who knows? When you get that far down the line,
exactly.
Steve and I are picking. You know, we had a pretty good defensive team, and we took care of the ball real well. And I remember we had an average turnover back in about 8 or 9 a game. We didn't turn the ball over too much, and shot selection is pretty good. And that particular year, we beat number 5 Georgetown at Georgetown.
That's right.
They had Mutombo in the morning, so maybe we could have won.
Yep, exactly right. Joe, good phone call. Appreciate you getting in today, and thanks so much for the phone call.
Thank you, guys. Have a good evening. Thanks a lot.
You bet.
Thanks a lot, Coach.
880-5763, 880-KRD. You know these guys right across from us?
No.
I didn't think so.
Yes, I do.
I bet.
I watched them play golf this afternoon, and they're all smiling. I bet they beat... I bet they beat poor old Steve out of some money.
Steve won. That's good. That's good to know.
Four birdies in a row in the back nine.
Wow.
I was there. No. We're looking.
you said.
Some of my friends.
I bet. That's good. Yeah. I'm happy they're here for the final few minutes of the show. You know, I got to ask about free throw shooting. We haven't really discussed this yet, but does it make you a little crazy to watch games and see how poor free throw shooting has become in college basketball?
I don't understand it. Like Memphis, a great three-point shooting team, and they're not the only one. And they finally got beat because they missed four or five free throws after they beat Texas A&M. And all year long, I've noticed this. Our team, we got a bunch of guys that shooting the perimeter real well. And I don't know if we just get hung up on it in our head or what. Now, a couple of years ago, we led the nation in free throwing. But most of them were shot by our two best players. And those guys were something else. Thomas and...
Rivera.
And Rivera, yeah. They very rarely missed one. So
it's almost like they don't practice it anymore. Like nobody just...
Well, I wonder if these guys, all they do is have to practice shoot threes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Your players after practice, they shoot free throws?
I had some bad free throw shooting teams. Most of them were teams that didn't shoot very well.
Is that why you couldn't watch half the time their team was on the line late in games?
I get sick of watching guys get away from their practice habit.
Yeah.
See, you got to have a routine to be a good free thrower. And they'd bounce it in practice once, twice, three times. And then in games, they'd bounce it once and fire it up there. So instead of getting mad,
right,
I decided not to walk.
So that's how it all started. Because I've always wondered, what was it that led to you closing your eyes and peeking and not wanting to watch during free throws?
That's like going down for practice when they're warming up.
Yeah.
I would get mad, and I'd go back to the dressing room for the game, and I'd be mad at my team. So our trainer, Ross Moore, he always called me Sonny. I love that. He said, Sonny, why don't you just stay up here and relax before the game starts? And that was pretty good.
Yeah, I'm sure. Pretty good advice. At the same time, you wonder,
I would like for, if we got anyone out there listening.
Yeah.
Why don't we, what is the problem with college free throwing?
I don't know. I don't get it. Maybe it's just they don't practice it enough, or they don't shoot it. But you're right. Maybe it's as simple as a routine.
I want to ask one of our people.
Yeah. Good luck,
Dickie James. All right. Now, why do college teams shoot free throws so poorly?
Yeah, he said they don't practice them first thing right off the bat. Ah, there's a good answer. Not having a coach that could shoot better free throws than they can. Most free throws you ever made in a row that you remember counting?
Couple hundred
in a row.
Your answer is you know.
They want to know what you have to
say. I think they stand out there and shoot threes after practice. And what gets me is a guy that's a good shooter, can make threes, can shoot some bricks shooting free throws. That just slays me. And that in just one team, I saw it on TV the entire year and last year.
Yeah. It just seems like it's getting worse and worse and not better. You've got great basketball teams that are shooting 62% as a team from the line. Look at Memphis.
They shot below 60%.
Yeah.
58, 59.
Memphis comes to the Don Haskins Center to play the Miners, and one of the reasons why the Miners stuck around as long as they did is Memphis couldn't save their lives online until the very end.
I don't remember. They were like 15-28 or something like that.
Yeah, I was going to say they were.
And, we lost a couple games this year if we could have made free throws.
I know.
But now I had some teams couldn't shoot free, like I said. But... they were teams that didn't shoot well.
Right.
I can understand it if the guys don't shoot well, like Kareem or Wilt Chamberlain.
Terrible free throw shooter.
Well, he was a terrible free throw shooter.
So was Shaquille O'Neal.
He could dunk pretty good.
Yeah. Same thing with Shaq.
I think the big guys might have a problem. A basketball in Shaq's hand is like a softball. Mm-hmm. How would you like to shoot a softball shooting free throws? How would that work?
You'd have to do a lot of practice. Yeah,
you'd have to do a lot of practice.
And sometimes I wonder if mentally these guys just have a block where they just can't get it in their head. And once they get defeated mentally, it doesn't matter what they do, they can't make a shot.
Did you see what Calipari did for the tournament?
Yeah.
He told his guys he didn't want them to practice free throws. He wanted them to mentally think about seeing it go in the basket.
Yeah.
And they shot them pretty good for a game or two, but when they lost, they missed free throws.
Exactly. I want to congratulate Joseph, who was our first caller of the show. He'll be our winner tonight for the Howdy's $50 Border Bucks gift card for the caller of the show. Joseph wanted to know what it's going to take to keep a coach here at UTEP. I thought that was a great question by Joseph. We'll give him the prize for this week. Coach, we're going to be back here next Thursday for another show. Want to thank Dan Wetzel. Want to thank also Nolan Richardson. And, of course, all of our sponsors and everybody here at Fuddruckers for making this show possible.
Yeah, and I want to thank these four guys over here for letting my son win today.
That's good, too. So there you go. On to the Final Four. For the Bear, I'm Steve Kaplowitz. My thanks to everybody for helping us out here. And, of course, Sergio Robili back in the studios. We'll see you next week on another edition of the Don Haskins Show.
You've been listening to the Don Haskins Show,
brought to you by Fuddruckers, EPT Management, Howdy's, Land America Lawyers Title of El Paso,
McCrory's Pharmacy,
Price's Creamery,
Radisson El Paso Airport,
The Rental Network,
Technology Management Solutions,
and Time Warner Cable.
Join us again in 2 weeks for more of the Don Haskins Show
on News Radio, AM 600,
KROD.
When it's news, it's here.
It may be only a matter of time before Al-Qaeda or other groups.